Good morning. Hope everybody had a good week. For nice weather, it did cool off this weekend, but hey, it's going to be December in a few days, so yeah. This is the week when everybody around us is supposed to be thinking of Thanksgiving, but really we're supposed to do that 52 weeks a year. But if we're not going to do it 52 weeks, at least one's better than nothing. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We live in a country where we're not killed for being Christians. We're not imprisoned for being Christian. We have freedoms in Christ. People came to this country so that we could be free to worship God. Did you know that? That's why we came. That was the main reason that the first settlers came. They came to be free in Christ. That this nation was founded on Jesus Christ. The two words at the top of the Washington Monument are still in Latin, Laus Deo, praise God. The National Archives that has the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in hermetically sealed vaults, the entire floor of that lobby where you stand to look at those is covered with a mosaic of the Ten Commandments. We live in what has been a Christian nation, and it is our responsibility to help it to be a Christian nation again. And the strength of this country is not in the halls of government. It is in the church pews and homes of America. Okay. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to join us in Isaiah 55. Open up your Bible in the middle, and a little bit after the middle should be Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters. We'll be in chapter 55. If I had to pick a favorite chapter in Isaiah, it's a toss-up between 53 and 55. But 53 makes you cry and 55 makes you rejoice. So I like 55. This is the one that talks about the trees of the field clapping their hands and the mountains breaking forth into shouts of joy. This is the chapter that talks about my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. This is the chapter that talks about how that my word will not return to me without void without accomplishing the purpose for which I sent it. Verse 11. But we're going to start, if we would, just in the first seven verses of this chapter. And it's quoted in Revelation. But here in Isaiah 55, we see reasons that we have to seek God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. He starts out in verse 1 and 2. He says, I guess I gotta get this thing going for you. He starts out in verse 1 and 2, and he says, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters, come, you who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Okay? Only a true thirsting for the water of life is going to satisfy your soul. He says, I want you to come to me to find water that satisfies, because the water out there, it doesn't satisfy. Okay? If you're marooned at sea and you're stuck on a ship and you're so thirsty that you drink the salt water, what happens? You die because the water won't satisfy you. The salt will dehydrate you. The salt will, you can't, it won't, it doesn't quench your thirst. If you want to quench your thirst, he says, the water of life, that'll quench your thirst spiritually. Do you have a thirst for God? He says, the water I have, it will quench your thirst. He says, why are you spending your time, your money, your energy on stuff that doesn't satisfy? What do people chase after? That's real easy. Watch the commercials. The commercials are there because that's what they want us to chase after. The commercials say, you're not going to be happy unless you buy this product and use it. If you buy this product and use it, you'll be happy. And we know because as soon as she wipes off her counter, she's smiling. All right? You know, as soon as they took that medication, they were smiling. Of course, you didn't listen to all that stuff that medication will do to you. causes everything. You know, when I listen to all, I wonder, why do you take that stuff if it's got all those possible side effects? But anyway, all this stuff they want us to buy, they want us to spend our money, spend our time, spend everything we have on stuff that doesn't satisfy us. Can you get all that stuff in this world and be rich and prosperous and popular and not be satisfied? Yes. Jesus says, I came that you could have life and have it abundantly. So come to me and buy that which satisfies. Now, what happens to us when we seek things that don't satisfy our soul? We go around being empty, not being filled. In India, the children that are starving, they cry themselves to sleep at night. So their mothers, to keep them from crying, will take little balls of clay and wad them up and give the children little balls of clay to eat, and the clay will sit in their stomach, and so they'll quit crying. But it doesn't nourish them. And they still die of malnutrition because they're not being fed. Okay? When we seek after things that don't satisfy, our souls are just as malnourished, just as distended as those little babies. Now, what do you think of this quote? Each of us has about as much of God as we want. I heard that last week on the radio, and he didn't give me the source, and I tried to find it and couldn't find it. But I thought, what a good question. Each of us has just about as much of God as we want. In other words, if I go seeking God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm going to have to be more committed, and I don't really want to be that committed. I'm kind of an SMO. Sunday morning only. That's good. That's all. I don't have to read my Bible during the week. Don't have to go to church Wednesday night. I'm good. That's all I need. I don't need too much of God. I just need just a little bit of God. I need enough to make me, you know, not feel bad about my sin. How much God do you want? If you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, do you live differently than you live now? Yeah. And let's try that. What would happen to your life if you decide to seek God with all your heart? We're going to get to that verse here in a little bit. But each of us has about as much of God as we want. I tell people, they told us, I used to weigh 272 pounds. I was, you know, I almost needed my own zip code, all right? And I took this class, this weigh down workshop, and in this they said, everybody weighs exactly as much as we want to, and we decide it one forkful at a time. Okay? I just decided I liked cheesecake more than I liked being skinny. Okay? But here, we have about as much of God as we want to. We tend to do what we want to do all the time. I want to pay taxes in April because I don't want to go to jail. Okay? And so I want to do those things. The things, we do what we want to do. And so he's going to talk here about seeking God with all our hearts. If you go on, verse 3, giving your attention to God will allow your soul to live. He says in verse 3, he says, give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. He says, guys, if you're going to pay something, pay attention. Give ear. Listen. Okay? How can we better give ear to God? This book needs to be open. Okay? We need to be in God's Word and let Him speak to us. We need to be on Christian radio listening to them speak God's Word and study God's Word. We need to be, wherever it is, we need God's Word in our hearts on a regular basis. See, now, not where I'm going in Uganda, but over in Nigeria and in Ghana, this yesterday morning and tomorrow morning and the next morning and the next morning and the next morning and the next morning, over half of the Christian adults in Nigeria will go somewhere before dawn, before they go to work, and have someone read the Word of God to them for 30 to 45 minutes before they go to work. Every morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and then on Sunday they get together and serve and worship together. But every morning they get together and someone reads the Word of God to them. Why? Because they know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? They know that. And so, give ear to God. Listen to his word. It's amazing. Okay, Kathy and I just finished Micah this week. What an awesome book. What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Micah 6, verse 8. God's word is so powerful, so amazing. Okay? Give ear to God. Now, what happens when we feel far away from God? And what happens when we seek him? Okay? Keep your marker here in Isaiah, because we're going to be back to Isaiah. But I want us to look at what it says in Deuteronomy 4. This is when Moses, 38 years after they go to Mount Sinai, they're getting ready to go in the promised land, and Moses says, okay, guys, we got to talk. All your parents died in the last 38 years walking around the wilderness, and I need to talk to you and get your attention. And so in Deuteronomy 4, he says, in Deuteronomy 5, he gives them the law. Deuteronomy 5 looks a lot like Exodus 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. All the Ten Commandments that you say in Exodus 20, you see them 38 years later in Deuteronomy 5. Well, in Deuteronomy 4:29, he says, there we go. He says, but if you from there, if you get away from God, he says, if you from there seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. He says, if you get far away from God, verse 28, he says, then if where you're far away from God, if you'll seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, he says, you'll find him. Okay, I have 10 grandkids, and when they were little, we would play hide and seek. Now, they're too smart. They know all my hiding spaces, and it's really hard to hide when you weigh 200 and plenty. Okay? They can hide in really cool places. They hide in places I can't even think of getting into. Right? I said, I never thought of looking inside the dryer. Yeah, don't turn it on. They hid in all kinds of places. But I can't do that. But when they were little and we played hide and seek, I would have to clear my throat or whistle or do something so that they could find me. Why? Because I had to let them find me. Right? God says, I'll let you find me if you seek. If you seek after me, I'll let you find me. That's 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3 and 4. He says, if you seek after me with all your heart, I'll surely let you find me. And here in Deuteronomy, he says, I'll surely let you find me. So, if you feel far away from God, what happens if you seek him? Well, you find him. He says he'll let you find him. Okay. Could God, if he wanted to, keep us from finding him? Yeah. But he wants us to find him, but he wants us to seek. If you don't seek, you don't get to find him. If you do seek, he does let you find him. Now, how well do we seek his face? Turn to Psalms. Okay, we're going Psalm 105. 104 is like this awesome psalm on God's creation, and 105 is this awesome psalm on relationship with God. But Psalm 105, verse 4, he says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he's done, his miracles, and the judgments he's pronounced. Okay? Seek his face always. We used to have a song in our book. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of a saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I just want to see his face. Don't you want to see Jesus? That's what life's about. I want to see Jesus. He says, seek his face. Now, well, to seek his face, then I want to live in a way that's going to let me seek his face. I want to live my life devoted to God. Now, how well are we doing that? Are we seeking other stuff that doesn't help us? Are we spending our money for that which does not satisfy, like Isaiah said? Having said that, let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. That's where our text is. I love these little strings. Okay. Isaiah 55, verse 4 and 5. Seeking the Lord will move others to come to you. He says, see, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you do not know, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Okay? If you seek the Lord, people who want to get close to God will seek you so they can get closer to God. That's what it says. If you will live closer to God, you know those people that you like. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, when you long to be closer to God, which people do you want to be near? If I want to get close to God, I want to hang around people that I know that are close to God. Don't you? Yeah. Okay. He says, there's people out there and they're close to God. And if you want to be close to God, then you seek to be with them because they will help you get closer to God because they're closer to God. But it goes on beyond that. Okay. God wants you to be one of those people. So when other people are seeking God, they seek to be close to you. Like I said, I'll be back to Isaiah. But I'm going to go this time ahead a little bit to Zechariah. Zechariah, if you go to Matthew 1 and back up 20 pages, you're in Zechariah. Okay? It's right before the New Testament. And in Zechariah 8, he says this, the last verse of Zechariah 8. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold on one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we've heard that God's with you. Hey, we want to hang around with you because we heard God's with you. Now that's messianic, by the way. This is the chapter that in 9 verse 9 it says, behold, your king cometh unto you, humble and lowly, riding upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Chapter 11, verse 12 and 13, it says, they paid his price, 30 pieces of silver, which is cast to the potter in the house of the Lord. This is about us. This is about the body of Christ. He says, and there's going to come a time when they're going to want to hang around with you because they know God's with you. Why did the early church thrive like it did? The early church was thriving. Tertullian, in the early second century, who was an elder in the church, he says, we are but of yesterday, and we fill your palaces, your streets, your homes. We fill all but your temples, and we are but of yesterday. He was talking about the church. The church was thriving, wasn't it, in the first centuries of the church? How did it do that? Because people said, ooh, I like what they've got in their life. I want that in my life. I like the way they show kindness. I want that. I like the way they show love. I want that. The early church was thriving because the world says, I want what you've got. And that's what it says here in Zechariah. And that's what it said not quite as plainly in Isaiah 55. But Isaiah 55, he says, I want you to seek the Lord in a way that moves others to want to be with you so they can find God. Are you one of those people that the neighbors say, hey, I got a question about this. Hey, what about this? Because they care and they know that you can help them find out because they know you care. You want to be one of those people because that opens the door of the gospel. That lets us tell others about Jesus because they see Christ living in us. All right, let's go on back to Isaiah. Isaiah 55, we're back in verse 6 now. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, I thought he could always be found. If he's not near, you don't want to seek him. All right? What's the greatest danger? When we neglect seeking God when he's near. Here you are, you hear the gospel message and it just touches your heart. You want to be committed. I really want to give myself fully to being the Christian I need to be at home, in my marriage, with my children, with my neighbors, at my workplace. Okay? And then you say, well, maybe not today. Maybe later. And you put it off. And you put it off. The biggest danger is not that you get run over by a truck tomorrow, which is a possibility, but that's not the biggest danger. The biggest danger is next week when you come, it may not bother you so much. You may not care as much because God's not near. He's a little farther away. And maybe the next day and the next day and the next day. And pretty soon, I don't care. And it's easier not to commune with the body of Christ. It's easier not to go to Bible class. It's easier not to invite Christians in your home. It's easier not to talk to people about Jesus because you got so far away and pretty soon it's just real easy to do that. Is that where I want to be in my life? No. He says, be that person, okay, who seeks God. When you're close to God, seek Him to be even closer. Now, why would God's people need to be reminded to seek God when He's near? Matthew 13 has more parables than any chapter in the Bible. Mark 4 has record of most of them that are in Matthew 13. But after He preaches the first one there, the parable of the sower that we know, the guy went out and scattered seed, and some fell on the good ground, and some on the thorny ground, and some on the rocky ground, and some on the, you know, first one was on the wayside, okay? That seed, after He gets done with it, it says that His apostles and some of the others, disciples, came and said, what's that mean? And then He told them. And then He quotes Isaiah that we mentioned a couple weeks ago, the passage where He says, hearing that they might hear and not understand, and they might see and not perceive, lest they turn and be forgiven. Well, I thought He wanted them to turn and be forgiven. We did. Do you know why He said, lest that happen? Because what would Christianity be worth? What would a relationship with God be worth if you could have it without seeking for it? They just handed it to you on a platter and you didn't seek? That's why Jesus said what He did in Mark 4, verse 10 and 11. He said that because He wanted them to seek. And if they're not going to seek, they're not going to find. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask, it'll be given unto you. Okay? Wrong order, but it's Matthew 7, verse 7, 8. Ask, it'll be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. If you ask, if you seek, if you knock, then you find. And if you don't, you don't find. Because Christianity is there for the people that want it. When He's near, you seek for Him. If you're close to Christ, seek Him so you can be closer. Because if not, you won't be. Okay? So God's people need to remind to seek Him while He's near, because there could come a time in your life, I don't care. Apathy. The biggest problem in Christianity is apathy. I don't care. You don't believe so? Read Revelation 3 about Laodicea, the laid-back Essenes, the lukewarm Essenes, whatever you want to call them. That they didn't care. Now, what deliberate changes in our lives will help us want to seek God first? Okay? Hosea. Hosea is, it's in the middle of those 12 little books before you get to Matthew. In fact, it's the first one of them. It's right after Daniel. Right after Ezekiel and Daniel, the next one, the first of the minor prophets is Hosea. He's the guy that God told to marry a wife from adultery. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says, sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. He says, guys, you sow righteousness, you reap the fruit of unfailing love, break up your fallow ground, your unplowed ground. In our story of the parable of the sower, and some of the seed fell on the wayside. Why didn't it come? Because it was the ground was hardened. You need to plow that up. You need to break up your fallow ground. You know why some of it went in thorny ground? Because they didn't break it up and turn the weeds over. Okay, he says, break up your fallow ground. Get rid of the weeds. Then when you plant the Word of God, it grows. You want to plant the Word of God? Then let God's Word help you turn up your life to where God's seed can find a place to grow in your life. Okay, he says, it's time to seek the Lord. When is it time? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. He says, today. In Hebrews 3, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Okay, so we need to make deliberate changes in our lives to help us seek God. What kind of deliberate changes? Okay, when is your favorite show on during the week? You work it out so that you can be there in time to see that show, or you TiVo it or whatever, all right? Do you have a scheduled time that you spend in God's Word? Do you have a scheduled time that you speak in confessional prayer to God? Oh God, I'm so sorry. Please help me in this. Do you schedule God into your life? If you don't, it's real easy for him to take a week off and you not to have a God in your life that week. What changes do you need to make? What fallow ground do you need to break up so that God's Word can make it into your heart? That's what he said here. Let's go on. One more back in Isaiah. Mercy and pardon are available for those who seek the Lord. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the evil man forsake his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Just turn to God, and he'll freely pardon you. He wants to forgive you. But he wants to forgive those who turn to him. You know, notice what it says in James 4, verse 7. He says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Right? Who takes the first step? He's already taken his first step. Now it's time for you to take your first step. And if you draw near to God, he's going to draw near to you. But if you don't draw near to God, well, why? I wonder why I feel so far away from God. He's still there. You moved. You draw near to God. Mercy and pardon are available. He says here, if we'll forsake our ways and forsake our evil thoughts and turn to the Lord, he'll have mercy and freely pardon. What happens to the guilt of those who diligently seek God? He shows mercy. See, grace is receiving kindness you don't deserve. Mercy is being saved from the punishment that you do deserve. That's why people throw themselves on the mercy of the court. They don't want the punishment that their crime deserves. We don't want the punishment our crimes deserve, right? The wages of sin is death. We don't want that. So we want mercy. But he offers mercy to those who seek the Lord. He offers pardon. When a pardon happens, you don't have any sin. When a pardon happens, the crime's gone. You're justified, just as if I'd never sinned. You're justified. It's gone. That didn't happen. Okay? If you try to look at the record of someone who's been pardoned for his crimes, there's no record. It's been expunged. It's gone. If you draw near to God, you've been pardoned. You've received his mercy. Now, what promises come to those who seek God with all their heart? You know, kind of notice the theme in all these verses I'm using today? They're all about seeking God, or being that person that helps others seek God, or finding other people that will help you seek God. It's all about seeking God, isn't it? Okay, the next book after Isaiah is Jeremiah. Biggest book in the Bible, so pretty easy to find. Isaiah 29. Look at verse 13. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's that hide and go seek verse I talked about earlier. Okay? If you seek for God, I like the way he says it in 2 Chronicles 15. He says, "I'll let you find me." He doesn't have to let us find him. God could hide in a way we couldn't find him. But he says, if you seek me with your whole heart, I'll let you find me. Here he says, if you seek me with your heart, you'll find me. You're going to find God if you seek him. Are you not finding God? Guess what? You're not seeking. If you're seeking God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, guess what? You find God. And if you're not seeking, you're not finding. Okay. So the lesson this morning is to purposely decide. Purposely decide to diligently seek God today. Not, well, you know, January I'm going to start reading through the Bible. You've got time to read through the Gospels this year at 3 chapters a day. If you decide to read 6.5 chapters a day, you can read through the whole New Testament before December's over. Wow! Okay? You can read the Word of God. The New Testament, look here. Let me see, I got to get all these helps on the back. Revelation's back there. There's Revelation. Okay, Revelation 22. There's Matthew 1. Okay? There's your New Testament. That's the whole book. That's like half of a Harry Potter book. Okay? And that's just the New Testament. Okay? You can read through that. Purposely decide to diligently seek God today. Kath and I, we read through the Bible every year for years, for decades. Okay? And we're finding stuff this year we didn't find last year. And we found stuff last year we didn't find a year before. Because every time you read the Bible, it stays the same, but you're a different person. And so when you read it next year, he's going to show you things you didn't find last year. Okay? Seek the Lord while he may be found. The elders talked to me earlier. They said, next year, how about we go through and do another one of those years that we did 7 years ago where we read through the Bible and I preach out of the text that's our daily Bible reading. So we want to do that in 2018. We want to spend time in the Word of God, and we want to encourage every one of you to seriously seek the Lord and seek after him, because when you seek after him, you find him, and you find out this Christianity thing is amazing. He lets us live on the earth in his name. It says in you know, 1 John 4, that as Christ is, so also are we in this world, which is a terrible responsibility, but an awesome honor. He says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He says, you'll be the light of the world. You'll be the salt of the earth. So, what's helping you thirst daily for the water of life? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can put salt in the oats. Okay? And if you put salt in the oats, he's more likely to want to drink. Find the things that encourage you to want to seek God. So if you like listening to Andy Stanley on the radio, you listen to Andy. If you like listening to other people on there, you listen to them. If you like reading certain people, you read them. Whatever helps turn your hearts to God. And, okay, do they have denominational errors? Everybody does. If you're big enough to eat fish, you're big enough to spit out the bones. Okay? Learn the things that help you and keep going from there. Okay? What's helping you thirst for the water of life? How fully are you giving your attention to God? Seek ye third? Second, 17th, first, the kingdom of God. Seek it first and his righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. Who's helping you grow closer to God? Those people you know that they're walking close to God and they've got the joy of Christ, they've got the fruit of the Spirit in their life because they've been seeking God. How much time are you spending with them? Well, spend more time with them because they'll help you be closer to God. Be with that person. Now, how are you becoming the person who encourages other people to get close to God? In other words, you know how those people help you? Your job is to be that person for them. Not for them, but for others. We all need to be being mentored, and we also need to be mentoring others, helping others grow close to God. That's why we're here. That's why when you were baptized, God didn't snatch you up into heaven. He's got work for us to do while we're still down here. He wants to live on the earth through us. So how diligently are you seeking God who's near? Because he is near. It's okay, here we are. We came on Sunday because we want to commune with the body of Christ. That's why the church was gathered together. Didn't say they came together to hear the preacher. Doesn't say they came together to sing or pray. It says they came together on the first day of the week for the purpose of breaking bread. I want to commune with you because when I eat that bread and you eat that bread, we are one body, because that's what it says. We, which are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. Okay? And so when we take that bread, we're one body. That's why we come together. But when we're near, we need to say, I need to seek God more. I need to be close to God. I need somebody to help pray with me so that I'll be close to God. I want to have people in my life, people in my day. When I'm texting them, I'm not going to text them about who's winning whatever football games or losing whatever political battles. Instead, I want to be texting about what Jesus is doing in my life and what I need him to be doing in my life. All those communication methods we have, they can be used for God. Let's use them for God. Seek ye first. Seek him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So to seek God, what do you need to turn away from? What have you been so diligently seeking that it gets in your way? Remember the guy in Mark 10, the rich young ruler, we call him, came to Jesus, and he says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him. He says, he tells him the commandment. He says, I've kept all those commandments since I was a youth. Then it says in verse 20, it says, and Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, go and sell all you have and give the poor and come follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. No, he went away sorrowful because as much possessions had him. Barnabas had a bunch of possessions. He just laid them at the apostles' feet. But his possessions, he was unwilling to let go of. Whatever you have been seeking that gets in the way of you seeking God with all your heart, that's what God wants you to get rid of. I had a buddy. Well, you know him. He comes every September on his motorcycle with his buddies. They didn't come this year because I didn't go there, but it's a long story. There was a hurricane or whatever. Anyway, so they didn't get to come this year. But next year, Lord willing, in September, they'll be here again. But he had a 1965 Mustang. Canary yellow, flat black hood. Only 289, big Holley 5, two-barrel, carburetor. You put tennis balls down the ports of that thing. Had a posi rear end, three-quarter race cam, dual-point distributor. Nice car. Second fastest at the 42 drag strip in the street legal small blocks. Okay? His cousin Joe beat him out with a little Falcon with a 289. But anyway, he realized he was doing more ministry, and he had a wife, and he had a couple kids, and he thought, I can't do this car and do that. And he sold his Mustang. Broke our hearts, okay? But he's been preaching the gospel for 40 years since then, so I think he did all right. Seek the Lord with all your heart and turn away from whatever you've been seeking that gets in the way of that. Now, on the other hand, you can use things for serving God. He uses his motorcycles to serve God. He gets all these people to come with him and go to places on. So whatever you can use it for God. God didn't tell the rich young ruler to sell everything because everybody's supposed to sell everything and follow God. He told him to get rid of what was in the way of him serving God. What's in the way of you serving God? It could be money. It could be addicted to TV shows, or addicted to cell phones. What is it? Make sure your addiction is to Jesus. I'm addicted to Jesus. Used to be a song on that, but that's another story. So, how can we help? If you have not yet surrendered your life to God, we would ask you to make the biggest commitment of your life. The only commitment you can ever make bigger than marriage is the commitment of dying to yourself to be born in Christ. If you've already made that commitment and you haven't continued to seek God, and you need us to pray with you to help you find people in your life to help you seek God, find situations in your life to help you seek God, whatever it is we could do to help you, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.